Pratishtativamandiram Udvasavahaninastam Tikstiraya mudavarchane Chalachaletitvinvithav Pratishtativamandiram Udvasavahaninastam Chala, movable. Achala, immovable. Iti, thus. Vividha, of two varieties. Pratistha, the installation. Jiva Mandiram, of the deity who is the shelter of all living entities. Udvasa, sending away. Avahane, in calling forth. Nasta, are not done. Stirayam, for the permanently established deity. Uddhava, my dear Uddhava. Archane, in his worship. Translation by the servants of His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The deity form of the Lord, who is the shelter of all living entities, can be established in two ways, temporarily or permanently. But a permanent deity, having been called, can never be sent away, my dear Uddhava. Translation responsibly. The deity form of the Lord, who is the shelter of all living entities,
can be established in two ways.
Temporarily or permanently. But a permanent deity, having been called,
can never be sent away.
My dear Uddhava. The devotees of the Lord understand themselves to be the Lord's eternal servitors, recognizing the deity to be the Lord himself. They permanently install the deity and engage in perpetual worship. The impersonalists, however, regard the eternal form of the Lord as a temporary manifestation of illusion. In fact, they regard the deity form as a mere stepping stone in their ambitious program to become God. Materialistic persons of whatever stripe consider the Lord to be their order supplier, and so they make temporary arrangements for religious ceremonies to achieve temporary material sense gratification. This temporary mode of worship is favored by those desiring to exploit the Supreme Personality of Godhead for their personal ends, whereas the loving devotees in Krishna consciousness eternally engage in worship of the Personality of Godhead. They install permanent deities meant to be worshipped perpetually. Om Ajnana Timiranda Sajnana Shalakaya Chakshu Militam Yena Tazmai Shri Gurve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakaramayam Tadati Swaparantikam Pancha Kalpa Trivishcha Kripa Sindhu Vyayavacha Patitanam Pavne Vyo Vaishnava Vyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhaktivinda
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna. So, we're in a chapter entitled The Process of Deity Worship, and the past week we've been, well, Krishna has been explaining to his devotee Uddhava, well, Uddhava is asking a question about the importance of this deity worship, since it has been explained by previous sages and rishis. So Uddhava now wants to hear from Krishna the importance of actually worshipping the deity, or the importance of understanding Krishna in his form as the deity. So of course for us, Srila Prabhupada has made it very clear. He has established deity worship in our Krishna consciousness movement alongside our preaching endeavors, because this deity worship keeps us grounded and it keeps us focused on the goal of life, understanding that the ultimate pleasure, our ultimate efforts are meant for the pleasure of the deity. Hence we have deity worship in the temples around the world. So there's innumerable benefits, of course, of seeing Krishna in his deity form. And although Krishna has explained in previous verses that there's eight different varieties, the previous text, eight different varieties of the deity: stone, wood, metal, earth, paint, sand, the mind, or jewels. So this is the eight different ways that Krishna himself can manifest. So for us, deity worship helps in the sense that it actually starts to elevate us and bring our activities, our consciousness, into at least the mode of sattva-gun, where we can gradually elevate our status or platform to Vasudha Sattva, pure goodness. So rising to sattva gun, or the mode of goodness, is easier. No, rising to the platform of Vasudha Sattva is easier once we've established and maintained our activities in the mode of goodness. So it's one thing to actually elevate ourselves to the mode of goodness, but then we have to maintain that mode of goodness. So we're not just rising early one day, we're not just taking a bath one day and then 4 days later take another bath, or we're not just brushing our teeth once a month and then the next month on Ekadashi we'll brush our teeth because it's very auspicious. No, we do it every day. We do all these things every day to get ourselves off the body concept of life and getting ourselves off the mentality of thinking that we're the center. So deity worship purifies us from the lusty desire to enjoy our material body, the lusty desires to enjoy the expansions of our body, family, friends, nation, etc. So we establish Krishna as the center, and we worship Krishna in different ways by pleasing him, offering different items, etc. So for us, it would be very difficult. Those of us who are coming from a Western background, because we have no understanding or concept of God. So for most of us, well, I'll speak for myself, I didn't have an image of God. I didn't know that God had a form or is a person or, you know, anything like that. It was just the word God. And this is why Srila Prabhupada always stressed Krishna and not just saying God. Because once you put a name behind it, there's a personality, there's a form, there's activities. So we're not just interested, like the purport today is speaking about those who, the impersonalists who think that the form of the Lord is illusion. So if you don't have an understanding, if you don't have descriptions and explanations as to Krishna having a form, Krishna manifesting himself in the deity form, is to our eternal benefit. So we understand that we have the Bhagavad Margam, we have the Pancharatrika Vidhi, in which we're performing all different sorts of austerities, cultivating knowledge. And of course, the education that we're getting from studying these revealed scriptures, these purports of Srila Prabhupada, we understand what the relationship between us and Krishna. So we have in our philosophy Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. And with all these methods of understanding who we are in relation to Krishna, in relation to this material world, what process we can apply to remember this fact, and what our goal is. So we're performing our activities and we understand what the goal is. So deity worship actually helps us understand that we're not the center of all the activities that are happening around us. So we rise early in the morning, winter, summer, it doesn't matter. We rise early and we worship the deity form of the Lord. So that in itself, an austerity in Kali Yuga, to wake up in the morning to do something for someone other than ourselves. So we're not waking up to perform our puja. Right, you look at yourself in the mirror and you have your Abhishek. Right, you have these honey shower gels, you know, honey and milk and oatmeal and cucumber, all these different things. So we can think we're having our own Abhishek in the morning, and then we put jewels and ornaments on us, we paint ourselves very nicely, we brush our hair, we don't tie turbans or put fans on our head, but we do all sorts of things in the mood of, I'm the worshipful deity in my existence. So deity worship says, excuse me, sorry, but this is all meant for Krishna's pleasure. So when we perform deity worship, whether it's directly dressing the body of the Lord or making some ornaments for Krishna, garlands, giriks, you name it, it's all for the pleasure of Krishna to be used on his Acha Vigraha form. So we don't have the purity, we don't have the prema yet to see Krishna in his pure transcendental form, but Krishna descends in the Acha Vigraha form so that we can actually personally see Krishna's beautiful form. And then as we gradually get realization by serving Krishna, because the realization won't just come by just being in the mode of goodness and not practically serving Krishna. We have to practically serve Krishna. We have to do things for Krishna. So the realization that Krishna, yes, has a Sachit Ananda form, and I can relate to Krishna, that realization will come as we serve Krishna every single day of our lives. So it's not something that we'll just cultivate and think about. It's something that we actually have to do. We have to show Krishna in his deity form. We're performing all these activities for the pleasure of the deity. So there's a lot of benefit by performing deity worship. As we've been speaking throughout the week, we develop, you know, much better qualities than we could imagine. So we have qualities of a brahmana. And these qualities of a brahmana are explained in Bhagavad Gita by Krishna in the 18th chapter, where he's speaking about cleanliness, austerity, wisdom, cultivating knowledge, truthfulness. These are all the qualities of someone who is very brahminical. So Srila Prabhupada's main purpose, he wanted to establish a brahminical class in society because that is lacking. So not only do we have unclean habits, but we don't have knowledge whatsoever. And we're trying to guide others. So that is just a society meant for destruction. There's no knowledge, there's no understanding of what's wrong and what's right. So Srila Prabhupada is establishing in his books, in the books of the Acharyas, in the books of the Sisko Swamis, and he's explaining to us how to properly rise to this platform of becoming brahminical and developing these qualities in Krishna consciousness. So we can develop all these, you know, we can be truthful, we can be honest, we can be so many things and cultivate all sorts of knowledge, but if at the end of the day we're not using it for Krishna's service, then it's a fruitless endeavor. So all these qualities, everything we do in this world has to be directly linked to Krishna, or else it's not going to liberate us from the bodily concept of life. And deity worship is the one thing that will help us understand that we're eternal servants of Krishna. When we worship the deity, you know, there's different mantras that we recite over and over again. These are mantras for our own personal purification, Bhuta Shuddha mantras. So we recite these mantras explaining that, yes, I am not the body. I'm not a Brahmana, I'm not a Vaishya, I'm not a Shudra. I may be in this Vana or this Ashram, but this is not my eternal position. My eternal position is that I'm a servant of the servant of the servant of your servant, my dear Lord. So deity worship helps us understand that we actually should be off the body platform of life. We should stop thinking that all I'll ever be is a female. I'll always be a man. I'll always have straight hair. I'll always have curly hair. I'll always be born in, you know, Pakistan, or I'm from Gujarat, or wherever. Right? This has nothing to do with our eternal position. Our eternal position is that I'm a servant of Krishna. So deity worship aims at really chopping out all these different concocted mentalities we may have of who we think we are. And by arriving to this platform of Satvagun, you know, we start understanding practically and gradually start realizing our eternal constitutional position. Not just understanding it because we're reading. That's one thing we get to understand, but we actually have to then also start realizing what the books are saying. So in this endeavor, Srila Prabhupada, you know, our entire movement is just really based on most of our acharyas are revolutionary in their preaching efforts. We see how Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur and Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, how they really made it a point to bring about Vaishnavism to the top in society, because at some point the Vaishnavas weren't properly respected. So they revealed the scriptures, they explained the scriptures, and they became so learned and so wise that they brought out the real truth of what Vaishnavism is, that you're not just, especially in relation to the caste Goswamis, right, or to the different groups that claim that one can become Brahminical, actually one can become a Brahmana or a Sannyas or this or that based on their birth. And this is the one thing that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, of course, had no tolerance for. So he went down into the scriptures and he was explaining that it is not by our janma that we actually become a Brahmana. It is not because of our birth. It just, that is not the point. The point is to become a Brahmana or to have Brahminical inclinations has to come from our activities, right? Our karma. We have to act in a specific way. The example Srila Prabhupada uses is that, you know, we cannot claim to be a lawyer just because our father is a lawyer. It just doesn't make sense. And if you go around saying, yeah, you know, my dad is a nurse, so I'm also a nurse. Or my mother is a model, I'm a model too. It just doesn't, we just don't do stuff like that. It's just ridiculous. It doesn't make sense that just because we're in a specific situation, automatically we become that. We have to have the qualification for it. We have to qualify ourselves. That's why we go to uni. We want qualification to be an IT specialist, or to be a man of hospitality, or to be a nurse, or etc., whatever it is that we're studying. We need the qualification. So similarly, to come to this Brahminical platform, we have to be qualified. Right? We don't just wake up one day and go to the gift shop and get a Brahmin thread, or do all sorts of things, or just walk onto the altar and say, today, Krishna, I promise you, I will be peaceful, I will be self-controlled, I will be steady, I will be honest, I will be etc., etc. It doesn't work like that. At least not in the Vaishnav cult, not in the Vaishnav way of understanding. We have to get the training. And this is why Srila Prabhupada always established that we have to serve the deities and train ourselves to be clean, to be punctual, to be on time, to serve the deity, to have them as the center of our activities. So this deity worship, it is for everyone. You do not have to be born as a Brahmana. It doesn't work like that. Not in any understanding have we ever been told in school or at work that we belong to a certain group or whatever because of our last name or because we have a certain type of hair. So just because, you know, Aditya is wearing a maroon jumper, So he's a Brahmana. And everyone else who's wearing maroon or red, you're very fortunate because you fall into the group of Aditya. And everyone who's wearing yellow or green, you're Shudra. Excuse me, but sorry, you're wearing green. So you fall into that category. It just doesn't work like that. It just doesn't make sense. This is the intelligence that society is following. You are like this, you're like that because of your external covering. People don't have any knowledge. They don't have any understanding of what's what. So Srila Prabhupada and the Acharyas, they have written extensively the Nectar of Devotion. Srila Jiva Goswami himself has written the Tattva Sandarbhas, in which he's explaining the real truth about the living entity, about the Ishvara, about Krishna, about material nature. And he's explaining that, you know, Krishna does come in his deity form, and in his deity form he bestows protection, he bestows shelter. He's omnipotent in his deity form. So it's not that the deity is just standing there, not doing anything. Now gradually you get to realize Krishna is a very active personality. So once we continue, when we continue practicing deity worship, not necessarily just dressing the deity, but centering our entire life around the deity, we develop attachment to serving that person. Just as we develop attachment to our body when we serve our body as the deity. Right? We just make sure that everything is right, make sure that that line is straight, that side parting has to be straight, and we make sure that our beard or our goatee is just perfect. Right? We make sure that everything is beautiful on the body. So Krishna in his Acha Vigraha form, he appears in a specific way to really accept service. Otherwise, how are we going to get the benefit of serving Krishna? If we can all try and imagine that we come to the temple and the altar is there but there's no deities. So we come in every day and we offer obeisances to the dome. You know, okay. There's no deity but we're just coming in. We wouldn't last pretty much because we need reciprocation. The reason why we keep coming every day because there is reciprocation we're getting from Krishna in his Acha Vigraha form. It's not that we just come in and we base our entire life, our entire existence, to coming to see a stone made of marble or brass. We just change our entire life for that. Everything that we do is meant for them. So we change our entire life. You know, of course, there has to be some reciprocation that we're feeling. Krishna says that he does. To the level at which that we surrender, Krishna reciprocates with us. So the deity form, you know, Krishna is there, and for us to be coming here every day, for us to give up our life to serve Krishna, there has to be some level of reciprocation. So Krishna in his deity form is not an illusion. Just as our form is not an illusion. It becomes an illusion when we think that it's permanent. This material form is not permanent. It is going to wither off after some time. But Krishna in his deity form, Krishna is always there. And Krishna exists eternally. And it is his blessing that he manifests himself in this way that we can get to understand I'm an eternal servant of Krishna. Krishna in his two-armed form. This is what Srila Prabhupada is giving us. Krishna in his two-armed form, Shyamasundara. Not any other form specifically, but specifically Krishna in his two-armed form playing a flute with Radharani. So when we worship the deity, when we start understanding the process of deity worship, how it comes with so many things. It comes with cultivating this Brahminical mentality, right? Compassion, selflessness, teaching others. It comes with cultivating an understanding that I am not this material body, that my existence is meant to serve the deity in his form. It comes and it gives us an understanding that Krishna himself has a form. So everything that we do, we offer to Krishna. So it's not a whimsical attempt. One person the other day was telling me at Urban Yoga that, you know, all these pastimes, everything Krishna does, it's just a way to kind of make us feel good that Krishna is there, you know, just to arouse or just to deepen the little faith that we have. So all these things, it's just like a little side information. It's not really important. And so actually, you know, we depend on Krishna's Atavigraha form. We depend on Krishna's pastimes. We depend on Krishna's holy name because it is absolute. It is none different from Krishna. So Krishna in his deity form reciprocates with us. Krishna, through the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, also reciprocates. Because Krishna is absolute. Krishna is not hampered by anything. When Krishna descends, he comes with his full potency. And we can ask, we can speak to different devotees who have had different dealings or realizations while serving Krishna in his deity form. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, most of Lord Chaitanya's associates, they were all worshipping different deities. You know, the pastime of Shyamada Vrindapuri, the pastimes of Sakshi Gopal, Advaita Acharya himself, he worshipped Shalagram Shila. So different associates of Lord Chaitanya were worshipping the deity and they were getting the direct reciprocation from that deity. And even with... In our ISKCON movement, there's so, you speak to devotees, you know, devotees have so much nectar about the reciprocation that they have with the deity because the relationship is there, it's existing. So sometimes you're addressing the deity and you somehow or the other strike the pin in the wrong direction and then you pin someone and then the whole day you have a headache. So Krishna is letting you know, can you please be a little bit attentive while you're touching me? You know, we shouldn't be very... one devotee was guiding me. She was saying we shouldn't become familiar with the deity. You think, oh yeah, I know Krishna, you're there in your form. Gauri Kija, you're so merciful. Oh Krishna, Balarama, Radha Krishna. And then you start becoming very familiar and you're thinking, Krishna's God and I'm your servant. No! But still, we should understand this is the Supreme Lord and we have to serve Him with His utmost perfection. Still in our perfected state, we try and serve with as much bhakti as we can. So not that just now I've come to this temple, Krishna, you're in your form as a deity, Jai, and I can be a little bit whimsical because you're very merciful. Nah, you still have to have the right mentality, understanding the supremacy of the Lord. So the deity has wonderful reciprocation and the Krishna in his form as the deity always reminds us that he is the proprietor of wherever you are. So we understand and we all have direct experience that Shishi Radha Vallabha, Gauri Thai, Jagannath Baladev Subhadra, they run this temple. Right? They keep us on our toes, literally. If we ever have the mentality of thinking that we want to enjoy separately from them, they're very merciful because they'll kindly rectify that mentality. So they'll drown us in the ocean of bhakti. They'll drown us in some service. They'll drown us with a little bit of an anxiety, thinking, oh, this has to happen, then this and this. Oh, Krishna, who's cooking this, that, this? This is all orchestrated by the Supreme Lord Himself. He's having all these different reciprocations with the devotees. And the same thing we're doing now is still happening in Krishna's pastimes. How when Krishna plays his flute, you know, it's just like, forget it. There's just chaos. Because everyone is running from this direction, that direction, and they don't want to be seen, right? So they're trying to be as calm as possible, but it's very difficult. Because, of course, their understanding is very thick, it's very condensed. They have so much love for Krishna that they give up anything for Krishna's service. So this anxiety, this, you know, one-pointed determination to serve Krishna as He wants is there even in the perfected stage. So we're trying to serve Krishna now, He's appearing in his deity form, then gradually, when our eyes get purified, when the veil of ignorance is removed, we get to see Krishna as He is, not with a tinge of, you know, marble or wood, or a tinge of brass, but we get to see Krishna in his pure form. And Srila Prabhupada was very much wanting that we all take part in deity worship and purify our existence. So deity worship is a wonderful way to make us get off the bodily concept of life, and it's a wonderful way to remove our lusty propensity, whether to enjoy the body or the extensions of the body. There's a verse where Krishna is speaking to Uddhava. I think it's here in the 11th canto. Chapter 13, text 6. Salvakani eva sevate pumam sarva vidyate tato dharma sato jnanam yavasmi japahanam. A person who has received his direct knowledge of the eternal soul will easily drive away the illusion of identifying with the material body and mind. This wrong identification with body and mind is caused by the three modes of material nature. Therefore, as long as one has not yet attained the transcendental stage where one directly perceives the soul, one must cultivate a life in sattva-gun. The reason is that by increasing the mode of goodness, one automatically can understand and practice religious principles, and by such practice, one's transcendental knowledge is awakened. So the sole purpose behind, of course, worshipping the deity is to get us off the lower modes of nature, and still to get off the mode of goodness and become situated on sattva-gun. And in that way, as Shri Krishna is saying to Uddhava, then we'll realize our transcendental position in relationship to Krishna. So I'll stop then and ask if there's any comments or questions or contributions. Yes, Father Mantra? Specific situations, huh?
We can't share. If you're gonna say that we should share with some senior devotee, but we can't share everything and like all the time. Maybe you have your personal experience, how to distinguish how to.
Okay, how to not get mixed up? Is Krishna reciprocating with me through the deity, or is my mind reciprocating with me? Well. We can't really trust ourselves that much because we've gotten ourselves into trouble all the time, having accepting a material body, one life after the other. So the acharyas do guide us that we take shelter of the Vaishnavas. So at some point, we really do practice what Srila Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami teach in Vaishnav etiquette, that we have certain dealings with devotees, that we have three ways of having checks and balances, and that is through the guru, the devotees, and Shastra. So in one of those three, we have to find out, Krishna, is this what you really want, or is my mind just toying with me? And most of the time, we really have to check with a senior devotee. There has to be someone that we can actually go for guidance when there's an issue at hand. For me personally, if I'm very mental, if I'm having a super mental day and I don't know what's going on and I don't know what decision to make, I approach the deity, Krishna, and I say, please help me. I don't know what's going on. I need help. It's just too much. Or, you know, please help me. And then somehow or the other, I do get help in the form of a senior devotee saying, well, do you need help in doing this? Or maybe you should write to this devotee. So we have to have that one person that we can actually take shelter of to help us understand in whatever situation we're in. Of course, it won't be just anyone. We don't just go to anyone and say, oh, I have this problem, or I've been praying like this and now this is manifesting. Should it happen? I've been praying to Krishna for a job and now an opportunity has come up. It's in a butchery. So maybe Krishna is saying, yeah, I should go for it, you know. I should just be transcendental in the situation and just try to see everything in relationship to Krishna. And maybe I'll say a few mantras and liberate this dead body or the soul that was in there. Now sometimes we just think of crazy things. So we go to a devotee, a very senior devotee, whether it's our temple president or our spiritual teacher or our shiksha guru, and we say, I've been having this desire and this is what's unfolding. Then, you know, they'll help us understand what to do. We have to learn how to take guidance from someone. If we just leave it up to ourselves, then it will be a bit troublesome, especially if we don't have a strong mind as yet. So we need to learn how to take shelter, how to take guidance of Guru and Sadhu. And every single day, you know, the deity is maintaining us. Whatever we eat, whatever items we get, Krishna's arranging all these things. You know, for example, you know, we're coming from somewhere else, Krishna's arranging. You know, of course, we're the ones going out to get the visas and doing the medical checkups and all these different things, going to the holy dham. But Krishna's behind it. Krishna's desiring that certain things happen in our life. He's orchestrating it. So every single thing that happens to us in our spiritual life, you know, once we look upon Krishna, once we establish, you know, a little bit of faith in Krishna, then Krishna takes control as we allow him to take control. But if we don't allow him to take control, that's another thing. But we should allow Krishna to take control of our lives and not be attached to our own ways of survival or our own ways of existence. That we take shelter of Krishna. He's been maintaining us thus far. And he'll still maintain us. As Lord Chaitanya says in the last verse of the Shikshastakam, you know, if you make me happy or broken hearted, you're still my Lord. You're still my maintainer. So in relation to your question, we can take more shelter or try and distinguish how we can take more shelter of the senior devotees, of our spiritual master, like that. That is the best I can say. Comments, questions? Okay, so another party. I hope that you all had a wonderful rut. And Srila Prabhupada would say to his devotees in the early days that Kartik is a way to actually get us to continue with our rut. So, if we really want to make advancement, if we vowed to not criticize. Yeah, so there you go. We have to go on Harinam now every day, because he took a vow to go on Harinam every day in Kartik. So we should try and continue in that same mood. This is how Kartik helps us make advancement. We might not chant all the extra 8 rounds that we vowed to chant in Kartik, but we must always endeavor in that light. Okay, I vowed not to criticize anyone for 1 month, or I vowed to not do this or that. So we should try and continue in that same mood and that same spirit. And Krishna will help us. And ultimately, it's for us to be able to do more service. So whatever vat that we took, we can see how we can still stick to it somehow. You know, we can still go on Harinam. But now, we're going to go on another sort of Harinam, book distribution. So this is going to be our Harinam for the next month. And this is a wonderful way to get noticed by Krishna. If you want a secret, Krishna says, those who preach this message are extremely dear to me. So you don't have to be a maha, maha, maha book distributor. All you have to do is endeavor to give Krishna to someone else. Even if it's one book at work, or someone keeps asking you why you don't come to the cafeteria at lunchtime, while you have your packed lunch from your wife or your mother or whoever, you tell them, well, I'm a very special type of vegetarian. And you can learn about it. I have this wonderful book called Higher Taste. And this is pretty much what I follow. This is how you can do book distribution wherever you are. If you're on a tram, one friend yesterday was telling me that she was on a tram and she was reading Prabhupada's book, This Is My Request. And she was saying someone in the tram was like, oh, what are you reading? And so they had started having a conversation. So we can always try and have one book in our bag wherever we go. And if we're reading, then someone starts asking, we can show them one small book or soft cover Bhagavad Gita. they get the benefit, they get the blessings. So I would like to ask everyone, the one activity that really pleases Srila Prabhupada, that really pleases our spiritual masters, is to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books as much as we can. And Srila Prabhupada spent nights translating these books for us and for us to be able to distribute them. And there is nothing like book distribution. It is too sweet to resist, and at the same time it's so purifying. It's so nice. So we can all try as much as we can. I'm going to try as much as I can to go out in the evenings on book distribution for the pleasure of my spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, and the Acharyas. So we can all try and do some book distribution for Srila Prabhupada's pleasure. And this is an activity that will please him very much. So are we all fired up to try book distribution for the next month? For the pleasure of Srila Prabhupada? Okay, maybe I'll say it again. Are we all fired up to try book distribution for the next month for the pleasure of Srila Prabhupada? Okay, thank you very much, all the way to Srila Prabhupada.